This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, we've made our way into hour number three here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you here just a little bit after 10 o'clock on Sunday, February 9th, 2025, Super Bowl Sunday. Thanks so much for choosing WEEI here on this snowy Sunday. Quick look out the window, and it is still snowing. So if you are going somewhere this morning, I hope you have any excuse in the world not to, but if you are, make sure you're doing it slow and steady. That'll win the race. Dan Ball with you, Jacob Lasner back in our Brighton studios on the ones and twos. Big credit to Jacob for using the feet, coming there by foot, trudging through the snow, and the Shoelace Express getting them to our studios today because I was lazy and decided not to do that. But that's all right. We're with you until 11. Don't forget, EEI is your exclusive radio home here in Boston for the Super Bowl, and our coverage continues on the national side all day long. You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff takes over at 11 o'clock after myself. Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti at 1, Super Bowl preview at 2, Super Bowl Insider at 3, and then Super Sunday, the full Westwood One pregame show, begins at 4. Kickoff for the game is at 6. You can hear all of that here on EEI on this Sunday in a game that, though maybe the excitement isn't as much at a fever pitch as it's been in past years, it's still going to be a game that a lot of people watch, a lot of people listen to, and certainly we'll be talking about, especially if Kansas City is able to three-peat. But we're going to deviate away from football for a moment to talk about the Boston Celtics, who lost 127-120 a couple of nights ago against the Dallas Mavericks. That broke, at the time, a four-game win streak that was finished with a 7-point ugly quote-unquote victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road. Came back to TD Garden playing the Mavericks, who had just lost Luka Doncic, and you know Anthony Davis wasn't ready at the time, so it seemed like that's a gettable game, but it's also a game that could easily become a trap game if you're not careful, and that's exactly what it was. It was a Dallas Mavericks team at the time that had heard the entire conversation about their team over the last week and what they were supposed to be. All they heard was, oh my God, the Dallas Mavericks got fleeced in the Luka Doncic deal. Those bunch of scrubs left on the Mavericks aren't going to compete for a salad bowl. That's a football metaphor, salad bowl, not a Super Bowl. I heard that in Kicking and Screaming, a Will Ferrell movie, but they're not going to compete for a championship, that's for sure. Got Super Bowl on the brain today. It was a bad game. It was an ugly game, and the only reason it was a 7-point game was because of the bench and the fact that they were able to close the gap. It was like a 31-10 run or something like that from the 10-minute mark in the fourth quarter on to get it to the point where it was a close enough game. So, naturally, come in on Friday, Celtics fans are upset, and then you turn around and you have what should be a measuring stick game for you against the team that's nipping at your heels in the Eastern Conference in the New York Knicks. And right from Jump Street, didn't it kind of feel like the game was over? I mean, the very first play of the game, the first two of Jason Tatum's 40 points, gets a well-placed pick from Luke Kornet, stutter step to put Karl-Anthony Towns on skates, and then he dunks over two other Knicks. If you pause it right before Tatum elevates, it is a perfect triangle of three Knicks around Jason Tatum, and they might as well have been ants compared to him when he went up. No contest. Incredible individual play. And the Celtics really didn't look back. Jason Tatum and Derek White alone outscored the Knicks as a team 33-28 in the third quarter. After the Knicks made it a 70-67 game with 6:52 remaining in the third, the Celtics closed on a 61-37 run. And it was a 49-25 run by the time that the starters checked out. Boston never trailed in the game and led by as many as 35. All that coming from our good friend Justin Turpin, who covers the Celtics for WEEI and who I use almost daily in my trending reports in the afternoon to reference the Celtics because he does incredible work covering the team. And I found the comments, and I used the measuring stick purposefully, because Jalen Brunson after the game said that the Celtics are a measuring stick game and that the Knicks see where they are in comparison to the defending champs based on a game like that. He was asked where that is, and the quote was, "Not where we want to be." Speaking specifically about the Knicks and their progress as a hopeful in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics are still viewed by other teams in the league as the measuring stick when it comes to, am I good enough to be a championship contender? They still are. As much as we want to poke holes in the fact that, you know, they've had some uglier losses this year, and it certainly hasn't been as pretty of a season overall. Already double-digit home losses, first time since the 21-22 season that's happened. Yes, it hasn't been as succinct and as pretty and as consistent as last year. But I look at their record versus teams above 500. Their winning percentage of 73.1, 19-7 versus teams over 500 is better than their winning percentage against teams under 500. They have three less wins, one more loss against teams under 500 than they do over 500. This team is going to be fine. Are they necessarily going to be able to take down a Western Conference team and win a championship this year? I don't know that answer. I still think that it is a near certainty or a very, very good chance that we're talking about Celtics and Cavaliers for seven in the Eastern Conference final. And we just saw what Boston is capable of when they play the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road, no less. Injuries and illness were certainly a factor yesterday until it wasn't. Again, this team does still have the innate ability to kick it into high gear when they need to. The issue is there have been more times this year than last year where, to borrow a metaphor, the engine doesn't turn over as quickly as it did last year in those kind of high-stakes games. And when you have as good of a regular season and as easy of a playoff run a season ago, it's human nature to kind of get caught into those trap games. Now, the one thing that does concern me, and this isn't the first time that I or anybody else have brought this up, the one thing that does concern me is they don't really seem to have the catalyst that wakes them up while they're in the middle of one of those trap games. You ever notice that? Like, when In a game like Dallas is the perfect example. There was nobody from your starting five to your head coach that was capable of saying, "Guys, wake up." And I know this is a wicked cliche, but guys, we're the Boston Celtics. Why are we sleepwalking against the Dallas Mavericks right now? Yeah, they came out and wanted it. Sure, that's great. They put everything out on the line at TD Garden a couple nights ago, and credit to them for doing that. We're the Boston Celtics, guys. Wake up. And luckily, the bench was able to come in and go, "Hey, the Stay Ready crew, Get Ready crew, I'm Ready crew, put me in, coach crew." They had enough to wake up and go, it doesn't matter if the starters are playing a trap game. We got to stay ready. We're coming in. We're going to try to earn this time that we're getting. And Joe Mazzulla gave him some burn, and thank God he did, because otherwise that would have been a much more embarrassing score. You still lost the game. And you lost the game because none of your starters wanted to wake up, and your coach wasn't able to motivate you to wake up in a situation like that. That has certainly happened too often in my liking, or for my liking here in 24-25. All that to say this, when you get into a playoff series, I don't think that that issue is going to present itself in as prevalent of a nature as it has during this regular season. I just don't see the Celtics ignoring the pressure in the stakes that come with the playoffs, especially when you're in a situation where everybody is going to be rooting for you to fail outside of your fans in Boston. Nobody on the national stage is going to be rooting for Boston to repeat as champions. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see Boston teams win outside of Boston anyways. So you're certainly not going to get any favor. You're going to go in with a target on your back, because that's what happens when you have the luxury of winning a championship. And I just don't see them withering away and dying. It kind of feels like it's going to be one of two drastic outcomes. It's either going to be losing the first round to a play-in team, or it's going to be play for an NBA final, doesn't it? Like, they're going, like, one of these two, the Jekyll or the Hyde, is going to be proven true in the playoffs. Either what we saw yesterday against the Knicks and what we saw a couple games ago against Cleveland, where they kick it into high gear against one of the best teams in the league, is going to shine through, and they're going to march their way to the NBA Finals and have a chance to repeat. Or the Hyde side that we saw against the Dallas Mavericks, and that we've seen in other games against subpar teams, to pulling out the Atlanta Hawks, the Toronto Raptors. There have been a fair share of games like that. That team is going to show through. And then you're going to have serious questions that you have to address this offseason of, well, what happened to the motivation that we had from game one until the final game of the finals a season ago? Where did it go, and how do we fix it? While also not having any money available to us to bring in somebody. You're going to have to build it down. You're going to have to break it down and build it back up with different pieces if you think that motivation is an issue. Now, that is all proven true by an early playoff exit, which I just don't see. And last night and the game against the Cleveland Cavaliers are two prime examples that when the lights are the brightest, the Celtics are still showing up here this season. Though it's been a little bit more arduous to watch this season, they still show up. They can still get the job done, and I do think that that can transition to the playoffs. But the Celtics are continuing their road trip tomorrow. They have a game, 7:30 tip on the road against the Miami Heat. They are quickly closing in on the All-Star break. A game in Miami tomorrow. They host the San Antonio Spurs on Wednesday, and then they're off until February the 20th when they start on the road against the Philadelphia 76ers. So a much-needed break coming up for the Celtics. They have two more games, one on the road and one home. When we return, we'll continue the Super Bowl conversation with your calls at 617-779-7937. We'll also get you set for your betting side of the Super Bowl, and we'll do that with Mackenzie Brooks. She covers sports gambling for CBS Sports and Sportsline. She is a data analyst. She is also a Philly sports fan. So how do the numbers match up with the fandom today? Curious to hear that perspective from her. More of that coming up next year on WEEI. But first, here is Jacob Lasner and What's Trending.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Trying to ignore the fact that football is done as of about like 11:30 today. Until, you know, training camp comes around and kickoff in September. That's all right, though. For Patriots fans, the season is really just beginning when Monday comes around. The coaching staff is still set. We've had plenty of conversations about that. Finally, the attention will be able to turn to the roster and the many additions around your two pillars, it seems, in Drake May and Christian Gonzalez. That will be a focal point of the conversation as of Monday, but that's Monday's problem. We are here on Sunday on WEEI. In just a couple of moments, we'll be joined by Mackenzie Brooks, who is a CBS sports betting analyst. She'll give us the lowdown where we should be putting our money, any trends that we should be aware of. A trend that I was reading about earlier this week that kind of caught my eye. Now, this is not cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but the entry-level price for a ticket to the Super Bowl is currently around $2,600, according to StubHub. Company spokesperson Adam Budelli told the Associated Press on Friday that while some tickets are still available, they are selling quickly. Compared to last year, which was the most expensive Super Bowl in history on StubHub, that's actually down 56%, making this Super Bowl much more approachable. I don't want to say affordable when compared to last year. The average price has dropped from about $6,900 last year to where it is this year. Bedelia attributes the price drop to several factors, including the Caesars Superdome's ability to accommodate over 15,000 more fans, the availability of hotel rooms, and the last one is interesting, fan fatigue. Now, that's one precursor to show how fans feel. I'm really very fascinated to see what the television ratings are for this year's Super Bowl. I mean, it's some number like 24 of the top 30 TV broadcasts of all time are Super Bowl broadcasts. Other than like the MASH finale or the Cheers finale or Seinfeld or one of those like massive, massive, massive shows. All of the biggest in the, I think the Nixon resignation is in there. Something to that effect. Almost every other single television broadcast that's broken records has been a Super Bowl. So it's still going to be a heavy percent, you know, 25 to 30% of the population is going to be watching, even if it's on the low side. But I will be fascinated to see if maybe there's a slight dip, because that's the only way that we'll really know. All right, did people actually care? It's still going to be packed. You're not going to notice a difference in the actual building, but the viewing numbers are really going to be very fascinating. And depending on how drastic it is, what message does that send to the NFL? Does it send enough of a strong message about how fans feel about the Chiefs that maybe you see a little bit less of them? Maybe less primetime slots, something like that? I would guess not. Because win or lose, they're still in the Super Bowl, and you always see the teams that go to the Super Bowl in those primetime slots the next year. But I just wonder if you can, if the league has the capacity to extrapolate, all right, these ratings are down, so what does this mean about the way that we present our sport and the equity with which we present our teams? Do fans really want to see more of the Buffaloes, the Detroits, the Green Bays, the Baltimores, the other, you know, the second tier teams? Do they really want to see more of that? Not to say that, and this is not trying to get into the ratings conversation again. This is more just how do we present our television? Who do we advertise for? Who do we push out on our social media campaigns? Who are the faces of the league moving forward? Obviously, Mahomes is going to be in that until he's not. He's so far in the first act of his career. He's approaching, you know, greatness. He's already in the GOAT conversation. Whatever. There is fatigue, and the prices are showing that, and I'm really, really curious to see if the ratings show that when all is said and done at the end of it. But the game is at 6:30, Chiefs and Eagles Super Bowl from the Caesars Superdome. We're going to talk about some betting trends with Mackenzie Brooks in just a couple of moments. I dug up a couple myself that I wanted to share as I was kind of trying to figure out where do I lean, where do I want to put my money. The ability to run the football has been much overrated when it comes to Super Bowl success. Teams that have averaged more rushing yards per game are just 5-15 against the spread since 2005. While that is a pretty significant trend that you're seeing, I would have to imagine that the power of Saquon Barkley might supersede that kind of trend. And I really think that you're talking about an ultimate X factor in Barkley, where it's not just the offense is going to live or die based on his ability to pick up big chunks against the Kansas City Chiefs defense. You're also talking about a rooting interest perspective that he's going to shoulder a lot of the load when it comes to people caring about this game and wagering in this game. I would be fascinated to see where the money is going in terms of Barkley-specific props. Are people taking overs and unders on his rushing yards, on receiving yards, on touchdowns? Where is the money going? I would think if you're tying in your gambling trends with your rooting habits, then a lot of it probably features or probably cycles its way through Barkley and probably goes through Mahomes as well. Another player that I'm curious about on the other side is Xavier Worthy. And the reason I say that is because he's not a high share kind of wide receiver. You're not going to see him be so incredibly heavily favored in the pass game where he's getting 6, 7, 8 receptions in the game, but he does have big play potential, and he has the ability to be a gadget player, and against a defense that is so sound at all three levels, you have to scheme up something that Philadelphia hasn't seen that maybe gets them out of position just a bit. But we'll put all that on hold for right now, because joining us on the phone here on WEEI, CBS Sports betting analyst Mackenzie Brooks. Mackenzie, happy Super Bowl Sunday. How are you?
I'm ready. Go Birds. Big day for me. We're in South Florida, but we feel like we're in Philly.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad it feels like Philly South right now. And that was kind of where I was going to start, was a bit of a proof of life check on you. Being a betting analyst, I know that you've gone through the numbers. So how are you balancing knowing where things are statistically with also being a diehard Philly fan right now?
You know, a lot of the time, I know this job in general, I like to hedge happiness here, where I'll put some bets on the other side where I feel like, okay, if there's cash, you know, this isn't a complete loss.
I like that.
But I found some ways to pick some bets that aren't completely biased, but it feels like everybody's against the Chiefs this year, which is very big as an Eagles fan, that everyone's not hating on your team. Like, we're not the most hated team in America right now. It's very exciting.
Yeah, that it certainly is, and I wanted to bring that up. This isn't a question, but more of just a statement coming to you from the Boston area. A lot of people are having a devil of a time figuring out what to root for in this game, but I think it's not only, all right, begrudgingly we'll root for the Eagles, but I'm curious if you've noticed the fanfare around Saquon Barkley, because as an individual in this game, it seems like a lot of people are really excited to see what he has to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the characters on this Eagles team, if you put the fans and fan base aside, you know, that's what people love. I've made a few TikToks about, you know, reasons to root for the Eagles. And it's like these awesome guys, and you have Cooper DeJean, and you have just the guys on the offensive line who are like so easy to root for. And, you know, you have A.J. Brown with the pink shoes and the book. And it's like, I think the character arcs here with this team are so fun. And it hopefully helps people get over the fan base.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. Okay, so let's dive into this game as you've been looking at it 2 weeks to prepare for what this game is presenting. Starting with the Eagles, have you noticed specific Eagles players being profitable this season from a betting perspective, and any trends that have jumped up with Philly this year?
Yeah, I've always been big on, you know, targeting the running backs in that prop market. I was big on Kenny Gainwell for a lot of the years, just getting over his 8.5, 9.5 rushing yard line, just small things like that. I think Saquon Barkley today, I think his rushing and receiving numbers are great, but I do think over 1.5 receptions is a really good place to look for him. I'm thinking and hoping and praying, actually, is what I'm doing, that, you know, the Eagles look at different ways to use him and be creative against Andy Reid. Like, you have, with those 2 weeks to prepare, things have to get, you know, a little more creative. So like short yard passes, screen passes, things like that. I think he will start to get involved in that game. And that's just another opportunity for him to be super explosive. And maybe it's a 70-yard reception instead of a 70-yard carry.
How is the betting market viewing Jalen Hurts? Do the rushing props maybe outweigh the passing props when the betting market looks at a guy like him?
I think so. After watching what the Chiefs did to Josh Allen in, you know, short yard situations,
right,
it made me hesitate towards Hurts. I will say it feels very hard to be able to stop Hurts, have a game plan for him, and also at the same time simultaneously be able to stop Barkley as well. And then, you know, there's just too much. And then you have A.J. Brown down the field. So Hurts numbers to me are tough right now. I think I'd be more in the Saquon market, just because if this team does have success, they're not doing it without Saquon, you know, not having over 100 yards. So that's the guy more so I target. You know, there's just two, and in a good way, you know, Jalen Hurts can do both, but a little more unknowns there for me.
Okay, I'm good with that, and I've been trying for this entire two-week stretch to marry the fandom of this game with something that I'm betting on. So if I'm throwing all my coin on Saquon Barkley, I'm more than fine with that, especially coming from New York, where we got to see the divorce play out firsthand. But how about on the other side for the Chiefs? Before we get into the data behind the Chiefs, what do you make of just the conversation around Kansas City this year? Have you noticed anything akin to a Chiefs fatigue as we get ready for the Super Bowl today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm biasedly over it. I think what they've done is so impressive. Like, from a, you know, stats and analytical standpoint, you look at them, and statistically, on paper, they look like a 9-win team. Like, they have the, you know, third-best point differential in their division. Like, the fact that they kept winning these games, and early, I'll admit completely, like, earlier in the season, I'm on air, and I'm like, there has to be a regression to the mean. Like, if you're going to play this way, eventually you have to not come out with a win. And clearly they are like a data model's worst nightmare. It's like, you're not supposed to be winning with the stats and how you're doing it. I give them all the credit for that. I think it's, you know, awesome to be building a dynasty that way, but I don't know if I'm confused and frustrated, or I find it very impressive that they've pulled off what they've done this whole season.
I'm sure it's honestly a bit of both, because I think that's, looking at it outside of the statistics perspective, it's kind of the disgruntled, all right, I certainly appreciate the greatness that they're achieving right now, but I'm also kind of sick of seeing them get away with the blocked field goal and the different ways they've been able to win. Is there anything that your models have presented to you where they are statistically dominant or statistically superior, or is it really just an anomaly for what they've been able to do?
It is just an anomaly, really. I mean,
wow.
You can call it a well-rounded team. Their defense was great. I'd say down the stretch, their run defense got a little more vulnerable. I'd say up until last game against the Bills, it kind of felt like, you know, that whole, they're statistically a 9-win team, they're da-da-da-da-da, all kind of went away. Like, they were really just great game plan and, like, phenomenal just scheme all around. And I think now we're, like, a little more scared of them than we were, you know, a few weeks ago watching that Bills game. It just made sense. I mean, it's funny, they're like a more slow, methodical team this year. You know, it used to be the Patrick Mahomes 300 plus passing yards and 3+ passing touchdowns and trick shots down the field, it feels like, but this year it's slower. You know, they're just as comfortable being one score down than they are being one score up. Like, it's the same heartbeat you're getting from them, and it's a bizarre situation to feel in that they're that comfortable down. I've never seen anything like it.
No, I'm right there with you. We're speaking with Mackenzie Brooks, CBS Sports betting analyst here on WEEI. Make sure you follow her across socials at Ken's Brooks Bets, so you can get information not only on this game, but as the calendar flips to basketball and everything else, you can get incredible information on where you should be putting your money moving forward. So, continuing the conversation with the Chiefs, have you noticed any trends money-wise with where people are betting with Kansas City? Any props that intrigue you on the KC side of things?
Definitely a few props. Someone I looked at, have been on a lot this year, was Xavier Worthy, and I was actually on his rushing yards for most of the year.
Oh.
That's kind of been inflated now up from, you know, 3.5, 4.5, up till 6.5, because they do use him in that way. I mean, he's, I'd argue, the most explosive running threat they have. I mean, Kareem Hunt, who's been great, just a little bit past his prime. Isaiah Pacheco is not 100% healthy. So when you have Andy Reid and a very athletic, talented guy, like, he's going to find creative ways to use him. And you've seen it with jet sweeps, you know, the way he gets in the end zone. I think he's a great value for an anytime touchdown. But when you're a receiving threat and a rushing threat, it's hard for me to not think you have value, you know, to bet on a little bit to get in the end zone. And I do think Kareem Hunt, you look at the running back, you know, market, what the odds makers are putting out for the whole running back room there. And it's like, they're not convinced anybody's RB1. Like, you know, Kareem Hunt's carries line's 11.5, okay, but Pacheco's like 5.5. So in my head, I'm like, this is Kareem Hunt's their RB1, and he's just not being priced completely like it. Like, take his overs. Like, I think his receiving yard over, again, Andy Reid with time to prepare in the playoffs, you're going to get some creative situations. So, I mean, ironically, it's just take wide receiver rushing yards and take running back receiving yards is where I'm looking at with this Chiefs team.
I like both of those, and not to mention too, and you've probably seen this play out as a Philly fan, the Eagles completely redid their defense and their defensive secondary and brought in a new coordinator in Vic Fangio. So there really aren't any weak spots that you see on this Philly defense. So I feel like there's a lot of merit to, if you're going to bet creative, if that makes sense.
Right. And I think someone else, I mean, one thing, especially without N'Kobe Dean now, you know, to be a little bit vulnerable to tight ends is definitely a concern, but I think Noah Gray could get back involved. I mean, he wasn't involved at all against the Bills, but that's exactly what Andy Reid will do. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him get in the end zone either at a pretty good, pretty anytime touchdown price as well. So those are the guys for the Chiefs side. Like, the characters that come out in the Super Bowl, typically any year, but especially on a Chiefs team, you know, that's when you got to be on your toes.
Yeah, that's true. We may not have had Mecole Hardman anytime touchdown last year, but he right. burned us for that no matter what. But, Mackenzie, I know you're busy. Before we let you go, I have to end with a bit of a sophomore question. Do you ever wade into the ridiculous novelty props, the color of the Gatorade, the coin flip, anything halftime show? Do you ever kind of dive into stuff like that?
Yeah, you got to. If you're going to sit there and watch it, you got to be involved. I've looked at the national anthem, studied some of that film, getting a little confused, you know, with our guy here. I think we're going with the under. It's set at 120 and a half seconds.
Okay.
We've watched him go under, I believe, two times prior, but then he starts breaking out the instruments, the piano, and you never know where he's going to go with it. So it's a bit of a toss-up. I'm willing to bet on the under.
Okay. All right. I'm good with that. And that's good to know that there's maybe a wrinkle that's thrown in there too. But again, she is Mackenzie Brooks. Make sure you follow her across all social medias at Ken's Brooks Bets. More content coming out ahead of kickoff for the Super Bowl at 6:30 tonight. Mackenzie, thank you so much for the time. Admittedly, I'm a big fan of your work, so I really appreciate getting to catch up. And I don't know what my former college classmate Michael Bonavita said to you before coming on today, but whatever he said, it is not true.
Noted. I'll let him know.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you for the time and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Mackenzie Brooks joining us here on WEEI. Certainly appreciate the time. Hopefully she has helped help stock up your coffers here for the Super Bowl coming up today. We will take a break and be back to wrap things up and get you ready for the Super Bowl right after this here on WEEI. All right, back to wrap things up here on WEEI. Don't forget, however, just because I'm heading out for the day in just a few moments, doesn't mean that we won't have continuous coverage of Super Bowl action, because we will. You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff begins at 11, then kickoff with Boomer and Valenti at 1. Then we launch into the full slate of Westwood 1 coverage, Super Bowl preview at 2, Super Bowl Insider at 3, Super Sunday at 4, kickoff for the game at 6:30. All of that right here on WEEI. And don't forget, the full slate is back tomorrow, beginning with the Greg Hill Show, then Jones and Keefe in WEEI Afternoons, followed by the Christian Arcan Show. All of that, recapping the game. If it's a win for Kansas City, how does that match up with the Patriots dynasty? What does that mean for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and their legacy compared to those in New England? And if Philadelphia finds a way to win, well, what does that mean for what this core can be? They still have Saquon Barkley, and he looks like he's still in his prime. Jalen Hurts is still a younger player in this league, 25, 26 years old. Nick Sirianni certainly will remain win or lose, and we know that Kellen Moore is going to New Orleans, but what does that mean for a guy like Vic Fangio? Looks like all the seats at the table are filled from a head coaching perspective, but who then is Philadelphia able to turn around and bring in as their offensive coordinator? Are they able to continue? Because their defense is pretty darn young. I mean, when you talk about draft picks from 22, 23, and 24, then add in an undrafted guy like Reed Blankenship, Zach Bond, who's, I think, a fourth-year player this year with this team at the linebacker position. They're young. They're under contract. Obviously, as guys age out, you'll have to make some tougher contract decisions, but there's no reason that Philadelphia, win or lose, should not be still in the conversation when 2025 rolls around. Injury report is pretty clean, all things considered, on both sides of the coin, as the Eagles activated defensive end Brandon Graham from injured reserve on Saturday. He will be available to play. He is still listed as questionable, so he will be considered a game-time decision. You'd have to imagine that he would be activated and would play at least sparingly in a game of this size. Just one player out, a wide receiver who wasn't going to be of much consequence. Anyways, CJ Uzomah, tight end, Nick Gates, also listed as questionable, and then no injury designation for Devonta Smith, Zach Bond, Jalen Carter, among other important players. Sky Moore, wide receiver for the Chiefs, is listed as doubtful. He's dealing with an abdomen issue right now. No injury designation for Juwan Taylor, punter Matt Araiza, or quarterback Patrick Mahomes coming into the game today. A couple of the prop bets, as we just talked to Mackenzie Brooks, that I found that I was intrigued about here today. And again, some of these are available depending on where you're listening from and where you're gambling from. They may be available, they may not. A lot of the exotic novelty props, like the national anthem and the color of the Gatorade and the coin toss and all that kind of stuff, aren't necessarily available in Massachusetts, but they're fun to talk about. The shortest touchdown of the game, essentially the tush push bet, over or under a yard and a half. So basically, does Philadelphia score a tush push or not? That could extend to Kansas City, but the over a yard and a half is +140. So your favorite is that somebody will score in that manner in this game. There's also a bet out there with 150 or more yards that Saquon Barkley sets the Eagles' career postseason rushing record with 150 or more yards. That's +230. Will Saquon Barkley score a touchdown on his first rushing attempt is +5,000. So if you are really marrying your rooting interests with what you're gambling on, and you just want to ride one player, one concept, and you're going with Saquon, then that's a fun one as well. Here's one that I think is interesting. Because I, as much as I've seen the predictions, some people think that the Eagles are going to win by a score, win by 10 points, whatever else. I don't. I ultimately am going to pick Kansas City 21-17, and I say that to say that will there be overtime as a prop bet? Yes, is +700, and if I'm going to sit here and root for a close game and expect a close game and kind of think this is going to play out as a bit of a slog, then maybe you throw that one around a little bit. I think that's at least an interesting number that you could get behind. And though we cannot necessarily bet on these in Massachusetts, at least legally, some of the trends for some of the novelty props for the coin toss: tails has won 30 times, heads has won 28 in Super Bowl history, but tails has hit in 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls as of 2024. And the team to win the coin toss and win the or the last team to win the coin toss and win the game were the Seahawks in Super Bowl 48. So teams are currently on a 9-game losing streak after winning the coin toss. Heads and tails both -105. We heard to take the under on 120 and a half seconds for the national anthem. If you are inclined to do that, last year Reba McEntire did it in 102 seconds with Chris Stapleton the year before at 125. So it really kind of does vary when it comes to that. And of course, the classic, the Gatorade color dumped on the winning coach. Working backwards, it's orange, purple, blue, blue, and orange. Orange is your favorite right now at +250, then blue at +350, yellow and green, 400, red at +500, which is listed as rarely used from Bleacher Nation, purple at +700, and then clear or water at +900. That'd be a nice little profit if you were to do that. You can also bet on fun things like which commercial will first appear. Right now, Doritos is the leader in the clubhouse. And the odds for the first celebrity cameo: Taylor Swift +200, Peyton Manning +300, Kevin Hart +600, and The Rock, or 500, and then The Rock is at +600. You can bet on who the MVP thinks. First, it's teammates, followed closely by God. So good balance there. Just some of the fun exotic prop bets that you can get in. And here's what I wish for you all as we come up on the last few moments of our show. We've spent the better part of the last 2 weeks lamenting what this Super Bowl is, what the matchup is, and what it's going to mean. If Kansas City wins, yes, they're the dynasty. They're going to be everywhere. We're going to be talking about it, whatever. If Philly wins, maybe it's the more desirable outcome, but it's still Philly getting something good. And here in Boston, we don't necessarily love that. What I hope for you, now that I'm looking out my window and the snow has more or less tapered off and stopped in our area around here, I hope that you have a great time watching this. Do it safely, obviously, but more than anything else, it's a great chance for sports fans to get together, have some great food, have a couple of drinks, have some laughs, watch the game, watch the commercials, watch the halftime show, watch for all the celebrity stuff. It's an event in and of itself, and it also caps off the 2024 NFL season and football season. And so it should be more of a celebration of what has been just a really fun year of football. It was a little bit of a lackluster year of football overall. I felt like there was a lot of parity. There were a lot of bad teams that were still in positions to be in the playoff race, and just a lot of bad football. It felt like it was being played. It was really very much the year of the running back resurgence, which is going to be an interesting trend to follow to see if that either continues or maybe there's a regression back to being more of a passing league in 2025. But we're going to have to suck it up and not have NFL football until September, regular season football, that is, until after today. So no matter what you're rooting for, and a lot of people are rooting for, you know, the meteor to hit more than they're rooting for one of these two teams to win, hopefully you enjoy it with friends and family. Enjoy it however you like to watch football, because it's our last chance to do that for just a little while. But we're coming up on the end of our show right now. I want to say thank you to Jacob Lasner back in our Brighton studio. Did a fantastic job on the ones and twos. Jacob's true Super Bowl is the Beanpot Final tomorrow. So go Eagles, my friend Jacob. Great job today, man, and we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it. Also, my money is on green for the Gatorade, Dan.
Oh, all right. I like that. Okay, I'm in on that. But I appreciate, Jacob. Thank you as well to ESPN's Paul Hempikidis and CBS Sports' Mackenzie Brooks for joining us on our show today. We are done for the day. You better, you bet. Countdown to kickoff takes over beginning at 11, followed by a full day's worth of national coverage leading up to the Super Bowl, which kicks off at 6:30. Thanks so much for joining us here on WEEI, and have a great rest of your Sunday.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.